I was still dressing and very like androgynously and very just like to myself. But after that, those events, I was even more shut down.
Yeah.
Right. So like, I thought that was my only shot at love. I thought that was it.
Gosh.
There was nothing else. For me, that was my one shot. And I was always holding out that he would one day return and I would live my happily ever after with this man. Surprise, bitch. Didn't happen.
In this episode, Tia's story continues. If you haven't already, go back and listen to part one of The Red String to make sure that you're all caught up. I'm Sophie Kaner, and this is Edges.
I always had held out that kind of hope, but I didn't want to get close to anyone after that. Like, you know, it was just like, nah, I'm good. Like, it was too much. But at this point in time, I was getting too big for my own skin. I felt like what I would imagine a snake would feel like when it's shedding and just can't get it off. Because I was less comfortable with who I was now than I was in high school. Because I was seeing all these college kids around me who, I wouldn't say they knew who they were, because really what college kid really does, but they at least had some idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Yeah. I was amorphous. I think those were my amorphous years. I got to college. I didn't feel like a boy at all.
Yep.
But I didn't know if it was right to call myself a girl either. Because it was like, I didn't know what that was supposed to feel like. So, I was really in this weird fucking amorphous state. And I remember making my first friend. Shout out to Narelle. What up, girl? her and I hit it off almost immediately because she was literally the quintessential opposite of me. Hyper bubbly. Like, hype. If you were to take a glass of strawberry milk and blow in it, all of the bubbles that come to the top, a ray of sunshine, which completely played off of my dour, dark, kind of like,
don't like, look at the darkness.
I wasn't emo, but I was just very like, I had been destroyed emotionally. Yeah. Like, so I just had nothing there. So we obviously hit it off. We became the best of friends. I could not help but feel that same feeling that she just saw beyond whatever situation I was clearly feeling. She didn't care. So when we would hang out together, we, much like me and my boyfriend, former boyfriend, we were in a space that was all our own. And it was through her that I started to open up more, right? I started to open my personality more. And she introduced me to this guy named Chris. Chris was great. The only reason she introduced me to this guy named Chris is because she really liked him, like a lot. And I remember one day, Chris had invited us over to a pool party that he was throwing. I was one of those kind of people who, one, did not like showing my body. And when I did, like if I went swimming, I wore a shirt. Because I don't know how to feel about myself at this point.
Right.
So we went swimming, all this stuff. And at the time, my hair was even longer. It was just long. So I had my long hair and stuff like that. And I would swim with my shirt on and things would get clean. I remember after the pool party, me and Chris were hanging out at Chris's place. And Chris was like, let me ask you a question. I was like, yes. He was like, why do you dress like that? Because at the time, I was still kind of wearing like very androgynous clothing. I was like, dress like what? He was like, those big clothes that you wear, like, why do you dress like that? I was like, well, don't all boys dress like that? He was like, yeah, I mean, maybe sure. A lot of guys dress like that. But you're not a guy, so why do you dress like that? And that was the first time someone had ever said something like that to me. And I was like, I beg your pardon. Like, what do you, excuse me? Are you insulting me? I'm such a bro. Wait, I'm the manliest person you know. But he was just like, well, when you were swimming today, like a few of my boys were like saying like, who is that? Who's that? Who's that? Because I mean, I had the butt. I still got that in cakes, you know?
It's true.
My bakery is never closed. We've been selling pastries and cakes 24/7. So, he was like, yeah, my boys were looking at you. And was like, who's that? Who's that? I'm like, okay. He's like, you know what? We're going to go somewhere. And I was like, where are we going? He's like, I'll show you. He takes me to a place called The Mall. not sure what this strange place was for consumer goods. So we went to the mall and I'm like, what are we doing here? And so we're walking through the mall together, and oh my God, I just did not feel comfortable at all. Like, I had the worst social anxiety at one point in my life, like cold sweat or sweaty palms, heart palpitation, that whole thing. And he takes me to Zara. Do you know where Zara is?
Yes.
Yeah. He takes me to Zara, and I was so confused at this point.
That's confusing.
You would think by this point it was pretty obvious what was about to happen, but...
No, but that's wild.
Yeah. And so he starts just grabbing things off the rack, and he hands them to me, and he's like, go put these on. I'm like, are you fucking crazy? Are you crazy? I'm not putting these girls' clothes on in the middle of the store. Like, we'll get kicked out. They're going to laugh at me. I'm like, you're nuts. And he was like, just put the clothes on. Jesus Christ. And I was like, they're not even going to let me in the changing room. And so I go over to the changing room, and there's this girl. And then she puts me in a dressing room. I'm like, thank you. And for like a good solid 3 minutes, I'm like in this room like, oh my God, what are you going to do? He doesn't expect you to come out, does he? No, you're not going to walk out there like this. Just put the clothes on. Like, I'm literally having this full conversation with myself. Now, there is a mirror inside the dressing room. So I put on the clothes, or at least one of these outfits that actually fit.
Yeah.
And I never looked at myself.
Uh-huh.
I refused.
Yeah.
Just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So I walk out, and him and the dressing room girl are just chit-chatting. And I'm like, hey. And he looks at me, and he gives me this look, this Disney look. You know, the Disney look of just like, and he like smirks and he does the gesture to turn around.
Oh my God.
And I turn around and I look into the mirror and I see Tia for the first time. I saw her. My long black hair at the time, like this beautiful black blouse that was just hugging me in the most amazing way. These jeans that just like, I saw her. And she looked ready. She was just, she had been waiting forever for me to find her. And there she was. And I wouldn't say that I've ever thought of myself as particularly beautiful. But I've never seen a more beautiful woman in my life until that moment. Mm. And I remember... him hearing them two talk in the background, and the girl goes, oh my God, your girlfriend is beautiful. And he goes, like, she is, isn't she?
Oh my
God. Now, we never dated.
Right.
But in that moment, I guess.
He just went with it. Yeah.
And it was just like, wow. And that was it. That was the moment I began, you know, doing research on HRT and hormones and stuff like that. All thanks to this guy. Who we're still friends now. We don't talk as much, but he doesn't know this. Maybe he does. Who the fuck knows? But he is the reason I found myself. He's the person. I'm sure I would have found myself at some point.
Yeah.
But you hear all these stories of these trans men and women who don't find themselves until they're in their like 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
I don't know when I would have found Tia, but I'm glad I found her that day. And so that's things starting to change.
Wow.
Like, I started to walk around. I was shopping in girls' clothes. Like clothing stores, but I hadn't thought of a name yet. It was shortly after that moment, before I found my name, that Narelle had introduced me to someone named Jose, also known as Jay. He later becomes the man I almost married.
Okay.
So it is in that time that I knew of him,
but
we weren't really, because I was still holding out for my boyfriend to come back and sweep me on my feet.
Right.
I don't know what he would have said, when he saw this new person. But anyway, so keep that in mind. So Jay was in the picture, but he was not really a thing. I'm in the point where I'm Tia. I'm dressing like Tia. I'm expressing as Tia. Now I've got to start to live like Tia, right? Mm. Now, living like Tia is difficult because there's no handbook.
Mm-hmm.
No one gives you a fucking, like, how to be a woman guide, right? So as far as I knew, the only way to really validate that womanhood was through male attention, right? Because, you know, when you think about women, right? When you think about powerful women, you think of the model, and you think about the sex pot, and you mm-hmm. think about the guy that every, or the girl that every guy wants. So I was like, I gotta be that.
Right.
That's what I gotta be.
Right.
I didn't know how to be that. But what I did know was how to flirt. Right. Mm-hmm. And I already had sexual experiences before, in the form of like oral sex that I would perform on various high schoolers that are my peers. So I knew how to seduce people. And so that's what I did. I was literally having sex with just about anyone, whether or not I was attracted to them, because it was in that moment of having sex that I felt validated, mm-hmm. that I felt that they wanted me.
Yep.
Right. And that became my MO, right? That became my like source of power, mm-hmm. that I felt at my most powerful if I could make someone come. If I could make someone come, it was almost like I'd become some sort of like weird sorceress creature. Like, have you ever seen what is it, Jennifer's Body?
Yes.
You know how like when she wasn't having sex she felt ugly and yes. just like she her skin was dull?
Yes.
That whole scenario, I was really relatable yeah. content, because after I would have sex I would feel like some sort of
powerful.
And I felt powerful. Yeah. You can tell. And I was willing to get it from anywhere. Now Jay and I start hanging out, and as we're hanging out, I start to realize that I really like this guy. He's sweet. He's attractive. He's funny. He's just, he likes hanging out with me, like all these good things, right? So I'm like, oh, I really like this guy, but my boyfriend, he'll come back one day. Mm. The day that I fell in love with Jay was the day I let go of my ex-boyfriend. Mm. Because my ex-boyfriend and I would still talk over the phone every once in a while when he can get a calling card to call stateside, right? And it became very clear to me at one point in time that he started to make a life there. Mm-hmm. He had friends. Yeah. He, you know, and he would always come up with excuses as why it would take longer. And I'm yeah. like, you're not coming back, are you? Right. Like, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, you're not coming back. And it was in that moment that I had to let him go emotionally.
Yeah.
I did. And so I was like, so maybe I need to just let, you know, Jay know how I feel about him. Mm-hmm. Jay really had a hardcore crush on Narelle.
Okay.
Hardcore crush.
Okay.
Like a lot. But she didn't really feel the same way toward him.
Okay.
Until after she broke up with this other guy. And then she's like, maybe I'll give Jay a shot. And now I'm in this weird in between.
And you were like, what if you didn't?
Yeah, I was just like, you know, girl, you don't really like him, though.
I don't think
like,
he's for you.
You just don't seem like you're really that into him. And so that's exactly what she did. She gave him a fucking shot. She started to get more involved with him as they went. And it was torture to me. Mm. Seeing my best friend and the guy that I was, like, hardcore crushing over together and stuff, but we used to hang out. That was my best friend, and then he was kind of my best friend too, so it right. was like a really shitty situation,
right?
Because he didn't know that how I felt. I never got to tell him. So one day him and I are hanging out, and Narelle's in class, and him and I are hanging out, and I'm dancing. So I was much thinner at the time, and I used to wear these midriffs, these low-rise pants, yep. and I had a big head. I was popping. I had taught myself makeup, and I was really good at it. And so I was dancing to this song for two reasons. One, because I really fucking love dancing. But two, because he was in the room, and my darker nature kicked in, where it was just like, yeah, that's my best friend's boyfriend, but at the same time, it's not like he's ever going to go for me. So I started dancing. And what I didn't realize, or I did, but I didn't realize that he was watching the entire time. Mm. And that is what prompted the next few times we hung out for us to just be like really close to each other. And then I just decided I was going to tell him how I felt about him. And he was like, yeah, but I'm with Narelle. You know this. I'm like, yeah, I know. I just want to get that off my chest. But then he was like, but honestly, I kind of like you too. And I was like,
that face.
I was like, okay, all right. Well, what do we do about this? Uh-huh. Like, what do we do? So him and I decided to keep it secret.
Wow.
Which I'm not proud of. You know, I'm not going to sit here and be like, that's right. I got one over on that bitch. No. I wasn't proud of it. It was my best friend. It was like my sister.
Yeah.
So he was dating her and seeing me on the side.
Right.
And
jeez Louise.
Yeah. And it eventually came to out that what him and I were doing, she eventually caught on.
Oh god.
And there was this big, huge blow up argument that the three of us had. And he was like, I really love you, Narelle. I do. I have feelings for Tia. I don't want to lose either of you.
Great.
And since we're both dumb, I was like, I don't want to lose either of you guys either. You're my best friend, Narelle. And Jay, I love you so much. And she was like, Tia, I love you too. And Jay, I love you. And like, because we're college kids.
Right.
I hope that she can laugh at this now, because I do. We decided that we were going to give this whole, I wouldn't say an open relationship, but this whole like trifecta thing a try. Right?
That is not where I thought this was going at all.
I wish it didn't. Because it was horrible.
Gosh.
It was the worst thing that could have happened, because none of us, in order to be in a polyamorous relationship, you have to relinquish jealousy. You have to relinquish ownership.
And everyone has to want it.
Yeah.
I think is the biggest
thing. I just feel like we got into it because no one wanted to give up on what they wanted.
And everyone was nobody actually wanted it.
No one wanted it. Jesus. Well, he wanted it.
Sure, yeah.
Because he got to have his cake and eat it too. Because even though we had agreed that we'd be in a relationship together, it certainly wasn't a social pact. It was a private pact. Yeah. So I was still technically viewed as the girl on the side.
Oh my God.
Which started to bleed into our social lives, right? So people were like, Tia, what are you doing ruining their relationship? So people started to turn on me.
That is hell.
Yeah. People started to turn on me and be like, what the fuck are you doing ruining their relationship? And I used to get like people threatening me and like who are Narelle's friends, like, you're a fucking asshole. You're a bitch. Like, no one's gonna want you. You're just a man in a dress. And like,
oh my God.
It was bad. And I was like, the fuck? And the friends that I had really stuck by me. And they were just like, you should just kind of let Jay go. Like, he's not worth it. And blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I would have been able to do that if it weren't for the fact that Jay had gotten kicked out of his apartment and decided he had nowhere to go. And me being the person I am.
Oh, Tia.
Yeah. me being the person I was like, you didn't come live with me. Because I felt this would mean that I would get more time with him.
Sure.
Right? Yeah, I mean, math.
Not your strong suit, though, as we recall.
Oh, Tia.
From the prologue.
God. Damn those numbers. So that's exactly what we did. He moved with me. Now, I had moved into so our campus was downtown Fort Lauderdale. And Narelle lived in a camp on campus housing, which is about 10 minutes away from the school by the beach. I lived on a off-campus housing. It was a beautiful, luxurious apartment complex that the school had leased for dorm rooms, which was bad. So I was living at least 45 minutes to an hour away from the city.
Okay.
So he was living with me. Now, I had a car. He didn't. I had a job. He was kind of looking for a job. He would get these really shitty jobs and leave them. So me being the person I am, I was driving him to school, to work, me to work. My job was about 45 minutes to an hour away from our house, which was 45 minutes to an hour away from the city. So I was driving everywhere.
Oh, my God. And his chauffeur.
Pretty much. Now, the way he divided his time was as such. He would spend 3 days with me, a week with her. A week with me, 2 weeks with her.
Uh-huh.
2 weeks with me, a month with her.
Uh-huh.
It was just not equivalent at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was whatever. It was as long as I can be with him. Now, there was one day, we're in my apartment, and the power goes off. Turns out, we were not able to afford the electric bill because what ended up happening was the dorms, or rather the school, sold the dorms, or that they couldn't afford to pay the lease for the dorms. So now anyone who was living there had two choices. They either moved out or they stayed and just got a lease at the apartment.
Whoa.
Right? I didn't have anyone to move to, so I was like, I'm going to keep the apartment. Now, I could not afford this apartment on just my own salary. So I was using like my refund checks from the school to pay for it and stuff like that. And Jay was helping loosely. Mm-hmm. He was helping. And one day, when the power goes off, he's like, I can't do this. I'm going to go stay with Narelle. I was like, all right, sure. So he goes to stay with Narelle. Now, I was thinking maybe he'd gone 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months. He was gone for 3 months while I was in this house with no power, trying to take care of things, and I was still driving him around.
Oh, my God.
I was still going into the city to take him to work, to take him where he needed to be. Whenever I would try to call him in these 3 months just to talk to him, he'd be like, I'm with Narelle, we're watching a movie. Can you call me a different time? Or don't call me, I'll call you. And I'm like, okay. They love you so much. I finally was able to get the lights back on. And I remember being in my room playing a video game. And I hear the front door open. And I'm like so excited. I'm so ecstatic. I go in and there he is. Like this, there he is. He's like, oh my God, Jay, you're back. We're going to have so much fun. I'm going to cook your favorite dinner and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, I'm just here to get some clothes. I'm going back to Narelle's place. And I was like, I broke down crying. I was like, what? I don't understand. Like the power's back on. Everything's fine now. Like, and he was like, yeah, I want to go to Narelle's place. And I'm just like crying. And I'm like, why do you do this to me? Like, why me? Why
yeah.
me?
Yeah.
Why am I the one who gets to be the punching bag? And she's the one who gets all the best parts of you. And I'm like sobbing. And he drops his stuff. And he holds me. And he's like holding my head to his chest. Because he's like taller than me. And he's like holding me so tight. And then he says these words. He says, Tia, I know that I hurt you, but for some reason, it doesn't bother me. And then he left. I haven't gotten over that since. It has been probably well over a decade. I've never repaired from that. To this day, I can still hear those words cutting through my worth, cutting through my sense of value, cutting through every fiber of who I am as a person, which is why I can take bad shit happening to me so well, right? When someone abuses me, all I can think is it doesn't matter. I wish I could say that I can get over that. I wish I could say that I can rise above that. I wish I could say, you know, that it's in the past now. No, it would be a lie. That I carry with me to this day, because I have never been seen as so insignificant by someone that you loved so much. So after that, I was like, okay, fine. You know, it's fine. I'm over you. Or at least, you know, you try to do all those things that you tell yourself that I wasn't over him. To kind of abridge where the story has been, at some point in time, I mustered up some sort of strength to say, like, you know what, Jay, I'm over it. I'm over you. Which wasn't true, but what the fuck was I going to do?
Right.
So I just, like, I move in with my friend Corey. Her and I live together. I'm like, I'm over him. And Corey's like, good for you, Tia. No one believed it. But it was a good for you. So her and I living together for about 2, 3 months, 4 months, and it was great. And then Jay comes back in the picture. And he's like, we've been talking in between times, but I was just like trying to repair, essentially.
Yeah.
Then he comes back. One day I'm sleeping on the couch and I get this phone call from him and he's like, I wanna come back. And I'm like, come back where? And he was like, I want to live with you. I want to try again. I'm like, what are you talking about, Jay? Like, you're with Narelle. Everything's fine. And he told me, He's like, I realize that when I'm with Narelle, everything's perfect. But when I'm with you, everything's real. And I was too like immature and too like stupid to be able and not strong enough to deal with what was real in life. And I'm ready for that now. And I'm like, whatever. Like when I get cold, oh, I get cold. So I was like, whatever, Jay. So I go to sleep and then I wake up to him waking me up with all of his shit that he had moved into the house. And I'm like, I guess you're living here now. And I guess Corey was okay with that. I don't know. I mean, I guess it didn't hurt to have one more person paying rent. So that's what I thought. I didn't see it as him coming back. I was like, all right, Jay, whatever you say. Now, in the time that we weren't together, I was having a lot of fucking sex. Like a fuck ton, right? Because I needed to feel that. I needed to feel human again. I needed to feel like I mattered. So anything with a pulse and a dick was enough for me.
Sounds sexy.
Exactly. It's like, ooh, yeah, look at that. Like, it didn't happen. It didn't matter if they were attractive or not. I dodged a lot of STD bullets, let me just say, because I was playing Russian fucking roulette, girl, with two guns.
Oh, my God.
Like, I was being wild. I was being a hero. Because I needed it. I needed to feel wanted. I needed to feel sexy again. So then when he moved in, that didn't stop. I just stopped telling him. And to this day, I've never been in a monogamous relationship. And I don't know if it's a result of me not wanting one or the fact that it's always been open because that was always the choice on the table, right? Because a guy couldn't just be with me. He has to have his vagina shot every once in a while. So I've always left him open because that's the only way I could maintain. He couldn't, there was no way a man can be with me and be satisfied. He had to have outlets. So I've always given men their freedom to do whatever they wanted. And Jay was no exception. Turned out though that between us, he was the one who was actually being faithful to me because he was trying to prove that he wasn't going to hurt me again.
But he was still with Narelle.
No.
He wasn't?
Yeah. At that point, they broke up and she just cursed me to the heavens. Ugh. Like, she hated me. We stopped talking. We've, again, since repaired it because we had an adult conversation a few years back as adults now. We're just like, girl. Because the next few years go by pretty great. We are madly in love with each other. He's doing everything in his power to show me that he is a changed man and he is doing a great fucking job.
Yeah.
He is loving me full-heartedly. He is a changed man.
Okay.
I end up moving to California. Because I was tired of being in Fort Lauderdale. I had graduated college. I was tired of being there. And I was like, I want to move. I don't know what it was, but we had hit the peak of being in love with each other. One day, the day he proposed to me, we were already 6 years in. Our relationship lasted 8. So we were 6 years in. And we were playing video games one day, and he pauses the game. He turns to me and goes, let's get married. Not the most romantic thing in the world. Certainly not pink or a red shoestring vine in the backseat of a car.
Nothing will ever live up to that.
Right? Though. But, you know, I was just like, yeah, why not?
Wow.
Right? Because what? Fuck it. You know, I love him. He loves me. Let's do the damn thing. And that was it. So over the course of the next 2 years, we were just planning out this wedding.
Yeah.
Because money is very important to him.
Okay.
But he has a habit of getting trapped in these dead-end shitty jobs and not doing anything about it because he does not like to push himself. He wants to be a director, does nothing about it. And he and I started to fall apart as we were planning the wedding. Huh. Now, if you were to ask me what was making us fall apart, like, was it an argument? I don't know. I feel like we had run out of patience with each other. Huh. So a relationship, as anyone knows, you have to have a lot of patience for the other person's bullshit.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
I don't know when we hit E, but we did.
Yeah.
But we ended like we began. So I had a best friend named Michelle. I know that face you're making, girl. We ended like we... It was full fucking circle.
Oh, my gosh.
I had a best friend named Michelle. And I knew her. He didn't know her. They met through me. And she had a boyfriend. And we were close. Me and Jay were close to her and her boyfriend. And they would come over to our house for Christmas. And like, it was beautiful. It was like, you know, it was great. It was like real adult friend, family life, whatever. Even though by the side note, we were significantly older than they were. They were like kids, but whatevs. And so when me and Jay started to like have our issues during, we were like, maybe we shouldn't live together for right now. We should take some time off. We should take a break. And we made a plan that in between the time that we were away from each other, we would go on dates to kind of like rekindle our relationship.
Yep.
And I was like, you know what? You stay in the apartment. The apartment was in my name. You can stay in the apartment. And besides, he made more money than I did at the time because I was kind of going in and out of employment. He was paying rent more. So I was like, it'd be the only fair thing to do. So I let him, and his job was right across the street. So I was like, I let him stay in the apartment.
Yeah.
I went and stayed with a coworker on his couch. Every time that we would go on a date and come back to the house, I started to see more of Michelle's stuff in the house. Like her toothbrush, her clothes in the drawers. And I was like, Jay, is Michelle staying here? She's a cisgender woman, by the way. I was like, is Michelle staying here? And he goes, well, she's really been helping me out this hard time. And I'm like, that's funny, because the bitch hasn't called me once. Like, not once has she reached out to me. So I think that's hilarious that she's helping you out in this hard time. Poor you, staying in the same house. And I'm sleeping on someone's couch. You know, like, okay, all right, fine. Fine. I'm not going to let it get to me, right? Because I've already gone through it with you. So then one day, I come to the house. And I open the door because I got a fucking key. And they were on the bed together. So we had our bed was like a futon on the floor,
yeah.
And then there was a table, and then there was the TV, right? Yeah. So basically, we just sat. The futon floor was essentially the couch.
Got it.
And then when I opened the door, they're not doing anything, but I seem to have caught the tail end of. Have you ever been like having sex or doing something you're not supposed to be doing, and someone opens the door and you like move in a very quick way to reset yourself?
Definitely.
That's what happened, and I caught that part.
Oh my god!
So I'm like. Like, I made that face. Well, God, you can't see it, but that face. No, you walk in, you're
lucky
just,
enough to see it.
That face was just like.
The eyes got very, very thin.
Yeah, and you walk in, you're like, hey, guys. And I knew something was up, not only from that, but she jumps up. I'm like, Tia, hey. And she starts hugging me and stuff like that. I'm like, that's awfully out of character.
Yeah, the bitch hasn't called you once, so we know.
Like, she's being very bubbly, very, like, happy I'm home. I'm like, that's weird. And he's not.
Oh, my God.
He's almost giving this, like, I wish you didn't come home kind of vibe. And so we're all sitting there watching TV, and it is uncomfortable. Uncomfortable.
I'm uncomfortable.
Right? She's like, geez, let me get some water.
Not even there.
So I'm like, I can't deal with this. And I was like, Jay, can I talk to you? So we go outside. I'm like, is there something going on between you and Michelle? And he's like I said, she's just really been helping me out. And I'm like, yeah, but physically, is there anything going on? He was like, and then he got quiet. He's like, well, we haven't had sex, if that's drastic. And I was like, that's enough for me. Like, that's...
So, yes.
The answer you're looking for. And so I was like, huh. I wasn't even mad. I couldn't. I was so exasperated at all of it. And it was so reminiscent of...
Right, you've done all this before.
It was like, we came full circle. You promised that you would never do it again.
Yeah.
And here you are doing it again. And I'm looking at this man in his eyes, and he's looking at me, that same look he gave me the night he walked out of my life. And this time, I'm much wiser, much older, and much stronger. And I look at him, and I say, we're never going to be back the way we were, are we? Hmm. And he looks at me, and I saw no love in his eyes, like, I don't think we are. And that was it. That night, I packed my shit. I was like, you stay in the house. I don't want to be here. Which was dumb, because I ended up homeless. But lessons. And I haven't seen him since. I mean, I recently found him on Instagram. I did see pictures. So him and Michelle got together. Okay. Apparently they're broken up now. I've got my spies everywhere. They've since broken up. And I see him now. He's not attractive. I'm not attracted to him in the least. But he seems to be happy. I think he's a vegan now. I don't know. Yeah. And that kind of, those two stories together, the reason I had to tell them in tandem, obviously, is because you can see the progression from where I lost myself to where I found myself. Now, one story that I left out, and the last story I'm going to tell in this in-between, was that missing piece, right? Because if someone breaks you down and knows how to break you down, you don't necessarily have the strength to deal with it all the time, right? So something has to happen. You have to make a fundamental choice at some point that you're stronger than that you want to change something.
Yeah.
So while me and Jay were together in Florida, like I said, after we got back together, I was still sleeping around. I just didn't tell him.
Right.
And I had horrible insomnia. So if anyone lives in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, downtown, you know how quiet sometimes the nights can be, especially around like 2-3 o'clock. It's very warm. It's very quiet. You can literally walk around downtown and it's pretty, or at least at the time, it was pretty safe. But there's this place called Riverwalk, and it's a place where there's a bunch of nightclubs, right? So I used to go out to Riverwalk after Jay had fallen asleep, because he'd fall asleep early. I'd go out to Riverwalk, and I would just dance for hours. That's like my aphrodisiac. That was just like, I would just love dancing. And that's usually how I would kind of attract a mate for an evening, a snack, a meal. That's how I would hunt.
Praying mantis.
Exactly. My pheromones, putting that out in the air. But one night, after a night of dancing, I was walking home by myself. But I was feeling empty, even though, like, I know I was walking to go lay in the bed with Jay and just be with the man that I loved.
Yeah.
And there was a man on the opposite end of the street. Now, I'm walking this way. He's walking this way. I don't remember too much about the man. I do remember him being very tall and, at the time, I think attractive. But then again, I might be really skewing that. So he's looking at me. I'm looking at him. And he kind of just crosses over to the street, side of the street. Now, obviously, I am a little scared. I'm panicky, but whatevs. And we start talking. I don't remember what. I couldn't tell you what the fuck we talked about. I couldn't tell you if it was serious or sexual. I don't remember his name. I don't remember anything about him. Just remember him being tall, possibly of some Hispanic nature. Now, as we're walking, we walk past this playground, this like kid's playground, and he kind of like gestures his head that way. And I follow him, and we stop talking the moment he does that. We go underneath the slide, and he basically just fucks me crazy underneath the slide, pulls his pants up, and then walks away. And I'm like laying there underneath this slide, not knowing what to make of the situation. And I asked myself, I started to talk to myself. I had an out-of-body experience. And I was like, is this what woman feels to you like, Tia? Like, is this what it means to be a woman to you? Is this what it means to be validated? Like, is this it? Is this your definition? Because if this is it, then you're right now, this feeling that you feel, you're at the peak of your womanhood. Congratulations. Right. Don't you feel beautiful? Like, I beat the shit out of myself. And it was in that moment that I was like, no, I'm going to define what woman means to me. I'm going to have the strength to say, I want this or I don't. I don't want to fall victim to my own feelings of inadequacy. And it was in that moment that I made that change. And that's why I am who I am now. And that's why I was able to look Jay in the eye on that day and just be like, we're never going to be the same, are we? And just walk away from it, because I didn't want it anymore. Mm-hmm. Because I realized that man who fucked me on that slide taught me one thing, really. In life, people are either going to take from you or add to you. You got to make that decision. Someone's either going to take something from you or someone's going to add something to you. If they're not adding to you, they're taking away. And if someone's going to take away from you something that you don't want to be taken away, you cut that person off. You cut them off. And all Jay was going to do was put me right back where I was when I was in high school or college. And I am not about to be that girl again. And I cut him off. I let him go. And I've been that way ever since. And it's part of the reason I wanted to do this today is because I have avoided being affiliated with my transness. I have avoided Like, I have girls that I know that are trans, but I've never, there's like a hashtag that girls like us. There's a lot of trans visibility, trans day of visibility. I never subscribe to any of those things. I never take part in any of those things because I've always wanted to fly under the radar. And that, and like, there was a lot of like perverted like imagery of trans women being catty and competitive with each other and spiteful and hateful. And I didn't want to be part of those circles. And so I literally turned my back on the trans community. But I also looked at my life and said, I ran into so many pitfalls that I probably could have avoided had I just had someone talk to me, someone who was on a better trajectory than a prostitute, or, which by the way, I have no problem with sex workers. But at the time when I was starting my transition, again, Maury Povich and Jerry Springer and trans prostitutes that I would see around Fort Lauderdale, that was what I grew up with, thinking those were my only options. And I didn't want that. I right now, I've never prostituted, never had to. And again, not that I look down on it, it's just, I said, I'm a woman. I am a woman, and I'm going to be able, I should be able to do everything and anything a woman can do. I'm not limited in my job search. I'm not limited in my job options. I've worked restaurants ever since amongst men. I work restaurants. Right now I work at a startup. You know, there are options out there for us. There are opportunities out there for us. We are not limited to the dregs of society. We are not an other. We are just another. We are another person. We're not an other person. We are every bit a part of everything else, and we should not feel limited. And so I wanted to do this because I wanted to give to, not take away from. And I think the more I held myself back, all I was doing was taking away from myself and taking away from some girl who couldn't use it. So now I've decided I want to give. I want to give to, add to.
Next time on Edges.
Tom is the first person that I have started a relationship with since coming out as trans non-binary. He's only known me as using they, them pronouns and being trans non-binary, unlike my long-term partner who has been with me as I've sort of come to this understanding about myself. And I'm not going to drag him here, but he's cishet. And he knew me and fell in love with me as a woman, identified as a woman. I've never been a super femme presenting kind of a person, regardless. Like, for him,
If you want to support Edges Podcast, the best ways to do that are to leave a rating or review on your podcast app or follow at Edges Podcast on Twitter. If you tweet at the show, I might read your tweet in the credits. You can also pledge to the show's Patreon by going to patreon.com/edgespodcast. That's patreon.com/edgespodcast. For $2 per month, you'll receive a thank you in the show notes of each episode. For $4, you'll receive episodes 3 days early. For $7, you'll access bonus material that I cut from the episode. And for $10, you'll hear me thank you by name in these closing credits. Please consider supporting the show in whatever way you can, as I literally cannot do it without you. Thank you so much to my $10 Patreon supporters, Angel Acevedo, Benjamin Redman, Caroline Seidman, Colby Rowan, Garrett M., Harper, Jack, James, Kirsten Griffith, Red L., and Reese. I'm slowly inching closer to my goal of being able to pay back my expenses on this podcast, and your generosity is so incredibly helpful and appreciated. On Twitter, Theo at Tinker Raven says, Edge's podcast continues to be phenomenal. I love the relatability of different emotional events preceded and followed by genuine discussion of things that are different from my own life's lens. I look forward to hearing more of Tia's story. Thank you both so much for sharing. Thank you, Theo, and I'll add my thanks again to Tia for telling us about her life. Biconic Ace at Biconic Ace says, Oh my god, at Edge's podcast, I am Sophie when the red string part happened. Thanks for saying so, Biconic Ace. Same. In this week's bonus track, Tia talks a little bit about her dead name. The Edge's logo is by Alice Chung, and original music is by Ryan Vibert.
Edges Podcast is created and produced by me, Sophie Kaner.